You're listening to Two Tonys Present The Discovery of Witchcraft with an IE. And the IE is in discovery, not witchcraft, and not Tonys. And that's the name of the podcast. And my
each episode, the name gets longer.
Oh, yeah, if you like.
And that's the rule.
I mean, it's still, is it still a rule? I feel like we can do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
I think we've established the rule, so now we can break it.
That's how it works. You only make the rule so that you can break it.
Exactly.
That's what I've learned from watching legislation.
Yeah.
And legislators.
I swear half the time politicians just put laws in place because they want to feel dirty when they break them.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Byron.
And today, we are reading to you a book. And last time we talked, we read book 2, chapter 11.
Ooh.
On Cornelius Agrippa.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius Agrippa, he's a guy. He was a guy.
It's a guy with a name.
He did have a name.
It's a great name.
It's a very good name. Cornelius by itself is really strong.
Mm.
I like it a lot. Agrippa? Now that's just
strong 1800s villain vibes.
Yeah, just wild. I mean,
damn you, Cornelius Agrippa!
yes, very, very strong name. And also kind of a Chad.
Yeah, absolute Chad.
Went to town smacking up the Inquisitors in Italy, I suppose.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if anything... We don't know anything.
No, because it does... I mean, a lot of it sounds like somebody was like, yeah, like, nah, dude, I was over in Italy. I owned them. I was so good, man. You should have been there.
Yeah.
Should have seen it.
The arguments I'm relaying to you are things that I thought on the spot and said them out loud instead of things that I thought later in the shower.
No, they're not things that I wish I said. They're things that I actually said.
Yeah. Oh, yes. now, we're up to chapter 12 of book 2, which is the final chapter in book 2.
But not the final chapter in the book
as a whole. Not the final chapter in the whole book.
Because I feel we had this confusion last time as well.
Yeah, there are 16 books in the whole book, and we're just finishing book 2.
We're just beginning.
We're beginning to end.
We're beginning the last chapter.
Well, we're getting the last chapter of the second book, but we're still beginning...
The book.
The overall book. Because because next episode
we're only
will
like
be
1/8 in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got plenty to talk about. There's so much to talk about.
Exactly.
Let's talk about some of it now.
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. Chapter 12. What the fear of death and feeling of torments may force one to do, and that it is no marvel. Though witches condemn themselves by their own confessions, so tyrannically extorted.
It's kind of the opposite of, I don't know if you've read The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Principle, but he talks there about...
Of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that book, he talks about the concept of begin with the end in mind, where he talks about like, imagine yourself at your funeral and like, what do you want people to say about you? This is almost the opposite, right? It's like, when you torture somebody and make their life flash before their eyes, they'll say anything.
Oh, they will. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't really want to think about my funeral and what people will say about me. I just feel like that's bleak and unnecessary.
When I die, I don't want to be cremated. I want to be taxidermied.
Okay.
I want to be turned...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to be turned into a lamp.
A lamp?
A lamp.
Right.
I want...
Which part of you will light up?
I want the bulb right up my ass. Because when people talk about me, they can talk about how the light literally shines out of my asshole.
Yeah, right. That's what you want people to say.
That's what I want.
At your funeral.
That's how I want to go.
That's how you want to... Yeah.
When I depart this earth...
If the responsibility falls to me to eulogize you, I will say that the light shone out of your ass.
Can we end this episode here so I can just work on my will for a minute? We don't need to. Listeners, you have it on record.
What?
Anthony is going to personally taxidermy my dead
body. Oh, no. I don't consent. I do not.
No?
No. What?
Just pay somebody to do it.
pay somebody to do it. Mm. You want me to pay somebody to do
it. I'm making you responsible for taking care of my remains to make sure that I end up taxidermied, turned into a lamp with the bulb right up the clacker.
Yeah, well, since this is recorded and that's a legally binding verbal contract.
Now, yeah, it's a legally binding.
Obviously, I have to do
you
that.
You have to.
Let's see how Reggie feels about this. He that readeth the ecclesiastical histories or remembereth the persecutions in Queen Mary's time shall find that many good men have fallen for fear of persecution and returned unto the Lord again.
Mm-hmm.
What marvel then, though a poor woman, such a one as is described elsewhere, and tormented, as it is declared in these latter leaves, be made to confess such absurd and false impossibilities, when flesh and blood is unable to endure such trial? Or how can she, in the midst of such horrible tortures and torments, promise unto herself constancy, or forbear to confess anything? Or what availeth it her to persevere in the denial of such matters as are laid to her charge unjustly, when on the one side there is never any end of her torments, on the other side, if she continue in her assertion, they say she hath charms for taciturnity or silence?
That was a very long sentence that basically...
Oh, it was many sentences.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I just didn't stop.
You just didn't stop. He's basically saying, how can we trust anything said under torture?
Yes. So he's saying you can't trust things said under torture, and also they will keep torturing...
Until they get what they want.
Until they get what they want, and they will, and if they don't get anything, they will say that the accused has charms up for taciturnity and silence.
It's a kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's a catch 22. It's
well, like, it's they want a certain outcome.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll do anything to get it. And if they don't get it, well, it was obviously witchcraft.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Admit to witchcraft. Or if you don't, you wouldn't because witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah. If you either admit to it or we know that you're a witch because any person
would
admit at exactly. After being tortured, of 100%. Course they would. So if you don't, then you must be a witch because you must have immunity to torture.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Peter the Apostle renounced, cursed, and forswore his master and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for fear of a wench's menaces. Menaces? Okay. Or rather at a question demanded by her, wherein he was not so circumvented as these poor witches are, which be not examined by girls, but by cunning inquisitors, who having the spoil of their goods and bringing with them into the place of judgment, minds to maintain their bloody purpose, spare no manner of allurements, threatenings, nor torments, until they have wrung out of them all that which either maketh to their own desire or serveth to the other's destruction.
Do you think he edited this book or did he just do like a single pass and then go, yeah, that's good enough? There's like at least three different ideas in that one sentence.
Yeah, so obviously Peter is a guy who was, I don't remember the full story, but I do remember him being tortured because he was supposed to, what was it? I can't remember exactly. Do you remember? Like they tortured him to like get him to confess that he was like Jesus's buddy or?
I don't know if I've ever read the Bible.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's too long.
All I know is that they ended up crucifying him upside down.
Okay.
Not fun.
I thought you were going to say something like, I remember he got tortured because that's the bit I jerked off to.
Byron, I'm not you. We're different people. We have different proclivities.
It was me that was reading the Bible to find the juicy bits.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't do that type of stuff. Anyway, so he was crucified upside down and tortured and whatnot. Yeah, and he renounced Christ, yada, yada, yada. So why would not anybody say anything, right?
Exactly.
Is, I guess, the point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, we have, again, he's using biblical evidence, which is selective for making arguments, which is not very helpful.
No.
But we know.
Yeah.
Right. We know that, you know, you torture somebody and they say literally anything you want them to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can look back on this and know what's up. Peter, I say, in the presence of his Lord and Master Christ, who had instructed him in the true knowledge many years, being forewarned, not passing 4 or 5 hours before, and having made a real league and a faithful promise to the contrary, without any other compulsion than, as hath been said, by a question proposed by a girl, against his conscience, forsook, thrice denied, and abandoned his said master. And yet he was a man illuminated, and placed in dignity aloft, and nearer to Christ by many degrees than the witch, whose fall could not be so great as Peter's, because she never ascended half so many steps. So, what does that mean? Reggie is comparing an accused witch to the Apostle Peter.
Okay. Yeah.
And saying that even Peter forsook. Is that the right?
Even Peter denied God.
Yeah.
Because he was like, tortured, and he's like super righteous dude.
Yeah. We all agree.
And like, you know, witches, they're not like as super righteous.
They can't be.
They can't be. So, you know, if Peter couldn't resist it, how can they?
I think it's a good argument.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah, I think it's a good argument.
Where were we? God. A pastor's declination is much more abominable than the going astray of any of his sheep.
So it's like worse for the, it's worse for the pastor to stray than his sheep, because he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be the shepherd. He's supposed to be, like, you know, keeping everybody on the straight and narrow and, common person, who cares?
Exactly.
Right? As an ambassador's conspiracy is more odious than the falsehood of a common person.
Yeah. So if an ambassador who's supposed to be representing their country conspires,
yeah,
that's worse than just, like, Joe down the block conspiring.
Right. Yeah. Because they've been put in a position of authority.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You trust them.
Yeah.
So if they abuse that trust, then that's worse.
Like if you've got like an investment banker who commits 34 counts of fraud.
Right.
Like that's one thing.
Because
they're only really doing themselves wrong. But if you had
the whole point of fraud is that you're doing other people wrong.
True. But it's like that's just one individual. It's not like
you
see what I'm saying? It's not like you're expecting them to run the country afterwards.
Hopefully not.
You're not going to like go ahead and vote for that person who committed 34
counts. You would hopefully not vote
like,
for a person like that.
You'd think that would immediately exclude you from even being considered for running the country.
Oh, I mean,
right?
I would immediately exclude anybody like that.
Yeah.
Just like completely. So,
Like you hold the investment banker to a different set of standards than you would, like, I don't know, an ex-president.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's different.
It's different. Or, as a captain's treason is more mischievous than a private soldier's mutiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if the captain commits treason, so if somebody who's in charge of the country was to, say, stage some kind of, like, quasi-rebellion, like, you know, get a bunch of people together and try to,
incite people to...
Yeah.
Like, invade a building of importance.
Yeah, take the building where, like, for example, your lawmakers may be.
Yeah.
You know, that might be bad.
That's worse than... I don't know, somebody dressing up with, like, just paint on their face and, like, a horned costume of some kind. And, like, if they're like, yeah, we should go down and, like, break in, like, that's completely different because that's just some...
That's some random dude.
That's some random dude. Like, you're not... Yeah. They're not holding a position of authority.
Yeah.
That's been instilled upon them, right?
Right, exactly. So that guy's like...
It's completely different.
You know, we feel differently about those two cases.
Exactly.
Right. We would if we were to put one of those people in prison for, what was it, 2 years, 18 months? Yeah. I can't remember. If we were to put, you know, some amount of time.
We'd go for the, we'd go for the person that's in charge that people would be listening to, because they've probably got a much greater role in instigating that than...
Right. You would think.
You would think. You would think. I'm sure that's how the world works.
Yeah. That must be how
that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah. We would definitely do that. If you say, Peter repented, I answer that the witch doth so likewise sometimes, and I see not in that case, but mercy may be employed upon her.
Yeah. So we forgave Peter. We still wrote about him.
We kind of like made him a pretty central figure.
Yeah.
In the whole church thing.
So therefore we should be able to forgive a witch.
Yeah, if they repent. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Where were we? It were a mighty temptation to a seely old woman that a visible devil, being in shape so ugly as Danius and others say he is, should assault her in manner and form as is supposed, or rather avowed, specially when there is promise made that none shall be tempted above their strength.
Ah, who's promising that?
Good question.
Like, I feel like that's just coming out of nowhere. These, like, these promises were made. Well, hang on, who?
None shall be tempted above their strength. I think that's a really hopeful thing to say. I think
Is it a religious thing?
Yeah. So what, like, he's,
God would not give you burdens that you could not deal with.
Yeah, I think that's what he's getting at, and he's saying that God wouldn't. God gives his hardest challenges to his strongest warriors, or whatever. Yeah. Right. That kind of sentiment. I don't know if that's biblically like well founded, and also not founded by reality. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of challenges in the world, and sometimes they go to people who can't really deal with them.
No, but it's not a promise in the sense of like it's been written down explicitly.
See, I don't.
Well, maybe it is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's in like the Psalms or something. I'm not a biblical.
Maybe God said it on a podcast, and then
God has contractually. A
well, I mean, if you said something on a podcast, it would be legally binding.
Like, it would be a verbal contract.
Be a verbal contract that now you have to embalm my body.
Jesus Christ. You're never gonna, you're gonna, this is.
It's on the record.
It's on the record.
It's so on the record.
I'll never be able to get out of it.
Nah.
I should take advantage of this in the alternative direction at some point.
You can try, but. We'll reconvene. Next podcast, we'll also have our lawyers in the room just to make sure.
Sure.
That we don't say anything that we
shouldn't. How do you feel about Danius saying that the devil is visibly ugly?
I feel like that's kind of... I feel the devil's maybe more ugly in their soul. It's inner ugly
than
anything else.
See, because I always feel like in media, the devil is portrayed as kind of a suave character.
Well, there's the phrase, a handsome devil.
Exactly.
It's
why would you say
you're a handsome devil?
Why would you say handsome devil if the devil wasn't handsome?
Exactly. The whole point is the devil, like if the devil was ugly, he would never be able to tempt anybody. They'd just be, oh, you're hideous. I don't trust you.
We shouldn't trust ugly people?
No.
Oh, boy. I mean, obviously the devil doesn't exist, but I do think that Danius, it's weird to say that the devil is ugly.
He just wanted to get that jab in. Just while he's there, he's just going to make that snide remark.
It's weird though, because Reggie has already said that he doesn't believe the devil exists.
Has he said that?
Yeah, because he's like saying things like, oh, the people who believe there are two gods are blasphemers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't believe there are two gods. He believes there's one god.
Yeah.
And so it's somehow important for him to believe that, but also believe that the devil is ugly.
Mm.
Maybe he just thinks that people who believe the devil exists are ugly.
Or perhaps he believes that the devil exists, but devil's not a god.
Yeah, maybe. But then kind of what is it then?
So, yeah, it's a good point. Like, I thought the devil was like, is it a fallen angel?
So there,
we had this sort of remember we talked about like was it the devil that gave in the Garden of Eden?
Right. So there is there's obviously a biblical story. Biblical may be a strong word. There's a Dead Sea Scroll,
mm-hmm.
which talks about the fall of an angel that challenges God, falls from the heavens, and this forms the basis of the Lucifer myth.
Yeah.
Where in sort of a modern interpretation of that story, there is, you know, a war between the devil and God,
yep.
and the devil is God's son and, you know, was an angel, no longer an angel, like that sort of, yeah, vibe. That's like the modern kind of conception of the devil, right? Mm. And in that conception of the devil, the devil is handsome.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he has to be. Yeah.
If he started as an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then maybe like the devil also has like a secret ugly
version, as I say, it's a inner ugly.
Yeah, but then also like the question is then these are not physical beings. These are like spiritual beings. So it's like
they can appear as whatever form.
Right.
Maybe it varies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the devil's ugly, maybe the devil's not ugly. Who knows?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sin and go to hell. Meet him face to face and find out for myself.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, this is an important scientific study that you have to do.
Exactly.
The poor old witch is commonly unlearned, unwarned, and unprovided of counsel and friendship, void of judgment and discretion to moderate her life and communication, her kind and gender more weak and frail than the masculine, and much more subject to melancholy.
He's basically calling witches losers.
They're not evil.
They're just losers.
They just don't have any friends.
They just don't have friends.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just kind of like dweebs, really.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really blame them for their behavior, but they just don't have any friends to help set them on the right path.
Right, right. They're just kind of like...
They're just losers. You shouldn't burn somebody just for being a loser.
Yeah, he's also bringing out his sexism again.
Yeah.
They're weak and frail and, you know, mentally ill. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, God.
Is there an index?
Index?
To this book?
There is not.
There's no, because I'm just wondering if there's any mentions of hysteria.
No.
I feel like that's kind of where he'd end up.
So the word in this book is melancholy.
Right.
Melancholy is the word for all kinds of mental illness.
Yeah.
This is obviously like, you know, 1584. This is before anyone, I really feel like, has talked about mental illness in any way.
Or illness in general. It's mostly like you've got ghosts in your blood. Like that's You got blood ghosts. That's why you're doing those things.
Yeah, I hurt my leg on the weekend and it hasn't gotten better.
Oh yeah, the ghosts are in there blocking the leg holes.
Doctor, can you get the ghosts out of my leg?
We're gonna have to we're gonna get some leeches. And they'll suck out the bad blood with the ghosts in it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean I don't love that. Oh gosh, you're doing it already. There's leeches all over my leg now.
Yeah, well, we gotta get the blood ghosts out somehow.
Okay, well, you're the doctor and I'm just a guy.
I didn't spend 6 weeks in the forest tripping on mushrooms to become a doctor for nothing. I know what I'm doing.
I feel like maybe you should have done a different kind of training, maybe at some point.
More leeches.
Oh no, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm covered in leeches.
I'm
not loving this. I feel like I'm running out of whiskey.
That'll help.
I feel like I'm running out of blood. I don't.
Yeah, you don't need it all.
I don't need all of it.
Nah.
I've got too much blood. You think?
Nah. Yeah, I think too much blood. We'll get rid of some blood. You'll be fine.
Oh God. Doctor. I don't like this anymore.
Next.
Yeah, that's kind of how I expect to be treated in late 1500s doctor's office.
I think so. I read this book, The Great Pandemic, which was about the Spanish flu, and it started talking about the history of medicine, and what we think of as medicine only really started to evolve in the 1800s.
Right, like germ theory and all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
and everything before that was like an imbalance of fluids in the body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we talked about the four humors, right?
Yes.
You know, in humorism, blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm?
Yeah.
Yeah. The good stuff.
Good stuff.
You got to have a balance.
Exactly.
if your humors are out of balance, that's where things get bad. Okay, so they're much more subject to melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
Her bringing up and company is so base that nothing is to be looked for in her, especially of these extraordinary qualities. Her age also is commonly such as maketh her decrepit, which is a disease that moveth them to these follies.
Yeah.
So
she's old and decrepit.
She's old, she's decrepit. She's a loser. No friends,
she lives by herself in the woods.
She's subject to melancholy, weak and frail. Not like a man.
No. Just because she's a loser.
Right, right.
Well, she's also ugly.
And then all of these things put together.
Just because she's a loser and she's ugly.
She's an ugly loser.
Okay, she lives by herself. Yeah, just because she's a loser, she's ugly. She lives by herself.
And weak and frail.
Okay,
and,
just because she's a loser.
And mentally ill.
She's mentally ill, weak and frail, lives by herself. Just because of all of these doesn't mean she's a witch.
I mean, so on one hand, yeah, true. Like, she's like, all those things don't make a person a witch. But also, like, ouch. Hurtful.
I'm on your side here.
It doesn't feel like you're on my side.
Well, I just said you're not a witch.
Right, but you said I'm a loser.
Yes, but I don't think you're listening to what I'm really saying.
You said
I'm saying, like, despite the fact that you're ugly,
what?
That you're a loser, that you have no friends.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm saying despite all of your flaws, despite just what a horrible, horrible person you are, despite the fact no one wants to hang out with you.
Jesus Christ, you're so mean.
I'm saying you're not a witch, despite all of that.
Firstly, I have lived a long and happy life. And I have had many friends. The fact that they're all dead now is sort of, like, not my fault.
Just because you have zero redeeming qualities whatsoever does not mean you're a witch. I'm on your side.
Really doesn't sound like you're on my side.
I'm saying you're not a witch. Despite the fact that you add absolutely nothing to this planet by existing on it. I'm saying despite that, you are not a witch.
Fuck you, buddy. You suck.
Well, some people just don't want the help, do they?
I hope you fall in a hole.
Well, if I do, I'll know you're a witch.
Finally, Christ did cheerily remit Peter, though his offense were committed both against his divine and humane person. Yeah, afterwards, he did put him in trust to feed his sheep and showed great countenance, friendship, and love unto him. And therefore, I see not, but we may show compassion upon these poor souls if they show themselves sorrowful for their misconceits and wicked imaginations.
Even though you're ugly, you're a loser, you have no friends. Nobody likes being around with you.
Right.
You smell.
Okay.
You can feed my sheep.
Okay, George. You're kind of an asshole.
I'm on your side. I said you can feed my sheep.
You're kind of an asshole, but you are on my side. I will admit that. I will admit that you're on my side.
Thank you.
But
I'm saying you're not a witch and you can feed my sheep.
Yeah, but... Oh, gosh. You want me to feed your sheep? Okay.
Yes, please.
Can we just be friends? Is this like... Why do you have to be so mean?
Just don't look the sheep in the eye. They don't want to see you.
Even the sheep hate me. They have wicked imaginations, though.
They do. The sheep?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what sheep think about.
You think... Sheep count humans to fall asleep.
I think that's the end of book two.
Fair enough.
Hold on. What did we learn? What did we learn? We learned so much stuff in book two.
We learned that Cornelius Agrippa is a fantastic name.
We learned about listicles.
Lots of listicles.
Item.
Item. Item. We learned about methods of capturing and holding witches. Don't let their friends get them out.
Yeah, okay. So that there's the point. They have friends.
They're not that much of a loser because you've got to... Just because she's... Well, yeah, they're not... That was the whole thing. There was like the chapter before he was saying like they're worried about the witch's friends breaking them out. Now he's like, witches are losers.
Yeah, don't have friends. Yeah. So either they have friends or they don't have friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this case, it depends on what's convenient.
I don't think he edited this.
I don't think he really like, oh, yeah. Anyway, we learned don't torture people. That's not good.
Torture's bad.
We learned don't come up with ridiculous ways to try to get people to admit to being witches. That's silly.
Don't commit 34 counts of fraud.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that and then run for president, for example.
Don't do it in the first place.
No.